todo el mundo.
But this was really
1981.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Lane Wilson, author of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series and director of the documentary The Ventures, Stars on Guitars. This is your destination for all things rock, where the interviewees include musicians, authors, historians, filmmakers, and more. And now, on to the show. Today I've got something extra brutal for you metalheads and movie buffs alike. We're diving into the world of Heavier Trip, the outrageous and hilarious sequel to the cult classic Heavy Trip. If you haven't seen the original, don't worry, you'll still love this wild ride. Joining me are the masterminds behind the madness, Finnish filmmakers Jukka Widgren and Juuso Latio. Together, they have taken the world's most ferocious death metal band on an epic journey from prison cells to the legendary Wacken Festival with Reindeer, Revenge, and a cameo from Baby Metal along the way. So crank up the volume and let's get ready to unleash hell. Welcome to the show, Jukka and Juuso. If you could kindly state your names so that our listeners will know who's talking after I ask the questions, that would be great.
Hey, my name is Juuso.
Hello, I'm Jukka.
I really enjoyed your movie, Heavier Trip, although I had not seen the first one. And I feel like that's a great accomplishment because a lot of times a sequel, you need to kind of see the first one to know where you're at. So I really liked it. And have you gotten that kind of response as well from other viewers that maybe didn't see the first one?
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of people. I've been interesting to ask that from people who haven't seen the first one, that could you get into this film without seeing, or did you feel like you're missing something out? But I'm very happy to hear that this film is something that you can, that was our intention. Good to hear that it works.
Well, Heavier Trip is rooted deeply in the absurdities and the passions of heavy metal culture, which I think is one of the things that makes it so relatable. What inspired you to create a sequel, and how did you approach building on the original Heavy Trip while keeping it fresh for new audiences?
Well, the first film was like where we set up the world and got up the idea of making a comedy film that's set in the world of metal music. So it kind of started from us, coming from Finland, which is a country, there's a lot of metal music, and metal music is pretty mainstream. And of course, Juuso, from two of us, is like a real metalhead with long hair and everything. And we, of course, knew something about the metal culture. And we had been doing like music videos for metal bands in the city we were living in, the northern Finland, and got to know a lot of these guys in the bands. And we kind of felt like these are really genuinely nice dudes. And a lot of them are really sweet and kind of gentle souls. But they make this music that's pretty brutal, and they're maybe thought about lot of people who are not in the metal genre, they kind of keep these guys pretty scary and kind of like maybe not really understanding where they're coming from. And we thought that this is actually something that make a great film. There's the contrast of these guys being doing this metal music, but also being very sweet and also very sincere about their music. And they're really kind of a bit of a, in a good way, like a bit of nerds about their music. They're really into it. So that felt like a good place to start a comedy film.
The characters, like you mentioned, they are multifaceted characters, and they're a lot of fun to watch. How did you go about balancing the comedic elements of these characters with the heartfelt bond that defines the band?
There has to be like drama and pain underneath everything. Like there has to be some like actual emotions and troubles. And then you start piling something funny on top of that. And I don't know, I guess like as writers, me and Jukka really like writing comedy, I guess, and jokes and laughing at our own jokes, I guess.
The cast is fantastic. They each embody their characters with such realism. How did you meet this cast in the first place?
It was more like a boring story in a way that we met most of them during a casting process, and kind of we didn't know for the first film we didn't know any of these guys. We were just looking for somebody who would sit in these characters that we had in our minds, and we found these guys, and they were very much like their characters, and there's a lot of similarities with a lot of the actors and their characters. And then we were just very, very lucky to find this really good cast in a certain time, because because we were looking at guys at certain age, and we were super lucky that finding these guys at that time of their lives and in the situation they were. And they're all professional actors. A lot of people have been asking, like, are there like musicians, are they coming from band backgrounds? But they're just all professional actors. And after the first film, we've all been very close, and we've become friends outside of the working relationships and everything. So it was so much fun doing this second film this time around. It was like having to work with your friends and hanging out with them.
No.
Yeah, that shows. Well, fans of heavy metal certainly have an incredible eye for detail. They are very discerning. So what steps did you take to ensure the world of Heavier Trip feels authentic to metal enthusiasts?
Because I'm really like nitpicky about like if I make a movie about something that's like a passion of mine, then I wanna do it right, and I don't think that's even like a conscious thing that I wanna avoid doing something wrong. But I mean, just when you care about something enough, you wanna do it as well as you can. And I'm hurt that the films are like metal accurate, so that warms my heart.
Yeah, that is pretty fantastic. I think that people who like comedies, people who like drama, people who like music, I mean, you got a little bit of something for everybody in here. And of course, a soundtrack is crucial to a film like this. How did you choose the tracks for Heavier Trip? And were there any particular artists or songs that inspired you during the writing or production process?
In this sequel, we got a Swedish band called Year of the Goat to do like the score music. We had separate guys making the score music, and then a separate guy making like the heavier stuff. And with the score music, it's really been like a band that I've been obsessing over for over 10 years, called Year of the Goat. And I really got to like live my own dreams in like getting them to like score the film for me. But with like the heavier music, Mikael Ammassaari, who also did like the heavier songs for the first film, he also like did the songs for this one as well. And what can I say about it? He's an amazing musician, and like working with him was great, and I feel like really proud of like the music that has been like created, especially for this film.
You have the a little cameo appearance from Baby Metal, which is fun. How did that collaboration come about?
We wrote the band into the script, not having any idea if we're gonna ever get to them, and also which felt like not very probable, as they're a really big band and they're very busy schedules, and also we had no contact with them or didn't know them or anything like that. But we were super lucky again that the producer of Baby Metal had actually seen the first film in Japan, and I liked the film, and then we got in contact with them, and they were very open to the idea of being in the film. And then again, it was a huge job to get their schedules and everything working with our production, and we were very lucky that they had a small gap between their two big tours that year, and they got to come to the shooting with us in Lithuania, where we were shooting this film. And and yeah, it was just like a lot of luck. And yeah, but the band Baby Metal was something that we kind of really liked. We thought this would really work with the film and with the character of Xytrax, who's this really true metal dude in the band who kind of decides what's metal or what's not. And Baby Metal's, of course, a band that kind of makes a lot of opinions inside the metal community. Is it metal music or is it not, or is it good or is it not? But it felt like this would work in a very natural way in the film. So that's the kind of where we got the idea of writing them into the film. But but the experience working with them was really nice. They hadn't done a film before, but they were very open to it, and they were really good, and they were very natural in front of the camera. And of course they had a lot of performing experience, and they were just fun to be with, and they were very kind of easy to work with. They took all the instructions, and they were how do you say, they were just nice. They would be very also like they would hear you out and take your advice and like hear the directions and being very respectful. And yeah, they were really, really nice to work
Yeah, the politest crew you'll ever meet.
with. Well, that's good to hear. Heavy metal is quite often portrayed as deadly serious, but your films prove that it can also be hilariously absurd. What aspects of metal do you think lend themselves to comedy?
Well, I think, I don't know. Some metalheads probably take themselves a little too seriously, or like all the metalheads I know have like very good sense of humor, and they realize like the ridiculousness oftentimes, and have like the they can laugh at it la laugh at themselves. But I guess like it's I guess you can like make a joke out of somebody not realizing the irony of like dressing up in like messed up ways, or
It definitely lends itself to the visual aspect of a movie. So I think that works. What do you think, Yuka?
yeah, I think one thing is that there's a lot of people who play metal music have a really genuine love for that music, because you're not, especially like we had this idea of these guys playing their insane genre of music, just like symphonic reindeer grinding Christ abusing Bennoskandic metal, which is like a small niche of metal that they play, which means that probably never gonna get really rich playing that kind of music or anything like that. So the place you'll have to come from a place where you really love the music, that you have a sincerity about the music. And I think that, I don't know if that's funny, but that is heartwarming, at least to know that These guys are making this just for the music. They're not doing it for becoming famous or becoming rich or anything like that. They just like the music and they really live the music. And they're very committed to the music also. It's just not like, it's not like, well, I'll listen to something else tomorrow. But it's like you'll grow your long hair long and you take all the shouting what comes with that, and you have to really be committed to the music and the lifestyle and the whole culture. I think that's again, that's not funny, but that is something
It's
that
sad,
is
yeah.
sad and sweet. I think that
Yeah.
is
I feel
very
like if
sweet.
there's a underlying aspect of, a genuine self that's committed to the music, you can then be freer and more funny. So I think that does work. Now, without
Yeah,
giving
I think that's
too
brilliant.
much away, how do you see more adventures unfolding for Impaled Rectum? I mean, what dream scenario would you love to explore in another movie?
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussions. There's going to be a third one, and we've been very not saying anything at this point, getting this film done. Yeah, I do love the characters and I do love the guys playing the characters, so that's a funny idea at least to kind of play around with, like, and it's also like they're nice guys to write about. You just take these characters and you throw them into different kind of situations and start thinking what would happen, so that's interesting with this whole film. But yeah. Well, we haven't made any decisions or even really thought about what would happen in if there would ever be a sequel.
Right, like you said, you're in the midst of the second one now and getting it out there. What is the release date in the US? And do you have any, like a website or social media where fans can find and follow you and get information on new developments?
Oh, the
Was it 21st?
29th of November is the
29th,
Okay.
okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. I really enjoyed your film, and it's a pleasure to meet both of you.
Thanks.
Okay,
It was a
thank
pleasure.
you, Stacey.
This concludes another episode of the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. Remember, there's a book series too. All the books are available in paperback, ebook, and audio via Amazon or the Rock and Roll Nightmares website. That's ROCK-N-ROLL-Nightmares.com. Our official theme song is She's Out for Blood by Fuzzbuster, founded by Lars Cabot. Thank you for listening.